Turning it with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew in chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. I'd like to share with you the word of the Lord this morning, beginning with verse 1 through verse 14. Maybe I'll go to 15, but at least we'll go that far. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. I wish they'd have gone to Bethlehem, but they didn't. And human reasoning, and this is where it's vitally important to note, that when you go by human reasoning, it can lead you astray. We cannot rely on our upper story. We got to rely on God revealing to our heart the truth, because human reasoning, it may sound right, it may sound good, but oftentimes what sounds good and looks good isn't so good. And we better be careful that we be not deceived or led astray. Here came wise men to Jerusalem. Why? Let's stop there for a minute. Number one, when these wise men were in the east, they saw a star. They will tell us about it in the next verse. We have seen his star. Notice that his, they don't know who the his is, but they do know this much about the his, that he is the king of the Jews. And Jews did not have a king at this time of their own. They had a phony. They had Herod, but he wasn't their king. He was Rome's king that they had pushed himself in there and taken over as a puppet king to Caesar Augustus in Rome. And when these wise men came, they came seeking for, they knew him to be king. So human reasoning said, where would kings be born but in the king's palace? And the king's palace have to be Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the national capital of the Jewish people. So human reasoning says that the king would have to be born in the city of Jerusalem. But God's word didn't put it that way. If they'd have known the scriptures, see where you get off of the track by not knowing the word of God, Jesus said it like this: you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And if we get both of them together, a lot of people know the scriptures but not the power of God, and some have the power of God but not know the scriptures, and in either case we're off balance. Got to be all, just like I said oftentimes, if we really let the word of God have free course and right away in our heart, we'll really grow up and be able to go up when Jesus comes. Those who are tall in God. If you have the word alone, you'll blow up. If you have the spirit alone, you'll blow up. If you had the word alone, you'll dry up. So we need the word and the spirit to grow up and be ready to go up when Jesus gets here. Men went to Jerusalem headquarters. As they were entering into the city, they inquired everywhere they could, anybody that they saw, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Until it was well rumored around that these big, important, stately, honorable men are hunting for the new king. The word began to get bandied around. In fact, the matter, it even got into the Herod's palace. And do you notice this? When they began to make their inquiries, it tells us that all Jerusalem was troubled because of him, Jesus. All Jerusalem, why were they troubled? One thing that they knew, that we need to know, that Herod, a man drunk with power, a man full of pride, fighting for his position, anybody that would be a potential rival to push him off of the throne, he's ready to flatten them. And when he hears about a king being born, and don't think that he doesn't know the Jewish customs nor the Hebrew scriptures. He knew that when that ruler would come, that the Jews had been long waiting and looking and longing and yearning for coming, that he was to take control over all of the earth, that he was to rule it with a rod of iron, that all kingdoms would crumble and fall under him, according to Daniel chapter 2. And if you remember that Daniel got a vision from God about a great big image that Nebuchadnezzar had finally erected, the king Nebuchadnezzar got the vision first. Daniel interpreted to him this giant image. He said, "You are that head of gold." And then he told the other kingdoms that would be Medo-Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome, would be the succeeding parts of that image, and the 2 feet, part of iron and part of clay, would be eastern and the western divisions of a divided empire, and then the 10 toes, representing in the last days the 10-toed kingdom, or the last controlling influence of the Asian countries. And if you notice right now, there are 10 nations in the common market. It shows us that scripture prophecies are shaping up mighty close and in good shape and right on schedule. And it shows us how near we are to the Lord's return. But we'll leave that for now. The important thing that we want to notice here is this. These men are going out with a question. Where is he that is born king? Most kings, when they come, they are finally raised up to be kings, but they're not all born kings. But I want you to know that this one that they are referring to was a king before he was born. No one ever could say that before or since, that they were a king before they were born. But Jesus was. And when I get into that part of that subject, it's going to just tickle my soul pink, and it'll bless your heart too. When we go over there to the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 2, and then Moses right on down the line through several references in Samuel, especially in 8:7 and chapter 12 and verse 12. And then we'll move over there into Psalm chapter 2 and verse 6. When God Almighty is speaking from heaven and he said, "I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." That's Almighty God talking about, my king is his son Jesus. And when he set him there, he'll rule the nations. In fact, go to Zechariah chapter 9. You're going to find it. "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, riding upon an ass, and the colt the foaling of an ass." Notice that "thy king cometh unto thee." And then in the 14th chapter about that same king, it tells us this, that everyone that will not come to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts. May I stop there a minute? Whenever you read in your Bible about the Lord of hosts, hosts in the Bible always referred to God's armies. God's army, you might be right. And the Lord of hosts, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he is the one who is over God's hosts. He is the Lord of hosts, none other than Jesus Christ himself. And they... wise men are inquiring, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Now notice that question that is being asked. And then, I'm going to skip down a little bit, but I will go back. And I will notice this now, that Herod, after he heard this, he then got the wise men. First of all, he called for the scribes, and he called for the priests, and he gathered them. And he demands in verse 4, he demands where Christ should be born. Notice it. Where Christ should be born. So we have two questions. Herod's question, where should he be born? And the wise men's question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Notice the similarity of the language and yet the difference in the language. Where is he that is born King? And Herod's words demanded of them where Christ should be born. Two are searching and seeking with entirely a different purpose in mind. The wise men seeking him that they may come and worship him. And wise men will do that, and women too. And then we have the wicked people, a man full of the devil, Herod, where he demands where he is to be born. Notice the wise men didn't demand. They just wanted to know. Herod demanded because he knew that in the birth of Jesus was a potential threat to his throne. He would lose his rulership position, and he is now going to plot and plan his destruction before he gets started. Now, I'm going back over there to verse 2. Notice the words. We have seen his star in the east. His star. Do you know this? That in the further research of the Bible, we come into one of the most remarkable revelations concerning his star. If you would like to go with me to the book of 2 Peter, and in chapter 1, and in verse 19, you're going to find here under the Holy Ghost inspiration and divine revelation, the Apostle Peter is saying this. We have, what do we have, Peter? He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn. Now watch the next word. And the day star arise in your hearts. Not rise from the east, not rise in the sky, but the day star rise in your heart. I say hallelujah. Who is that day star? Well, if we just notice, the Bible is a progressive revelation. Many people do not understand the Holy Book because they just didn't go far enough. But go with me now the next step to Revelation chapter 2. The Lord Jesus is speaking. And here is what he is saying to the church of Thyatira in verse 20. If I read all of the scripture verse, there are a lot that he has to say to them. But I want to get verse 28 in there. But if I will go back to 25 through 28, it'll give you how current the message is. For instance, in 25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Jesus speaking of his return. He's there in heaven talking to people on the earth. He said, what you got, hold on to it till I get there. Next verse. He that overcometh, and they're showing that there is a possibility of overcoming. What else? And keepeth my works, not yours, but my works unto the end. Jesus said, this is what I'll do. I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. This is where the saints of God and the Lord Jesus Christ rule over the whole of the earth for 1,000 years of peace. And notice verse 28 now. And I will give him the morning star. Still, we don't know who the morning star is that Jesus is going to give him. Well, if we just have to go a little further then, and if we go to the last chapter of the book, and the Holy Ghost just saved it up to last. Generally, the best is at the last. Just like at the wedding feast in Cana, save the best wine to last. And even those who were there marveled at that. But look now in verse 16 of this last chapter. Jesus is speaking. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you the things in the churches. These things in the churches. More than one. That ought to include this one. I am the root and the offspring of David. What else? And the bright and morning star. That's who is the star. And when the day star arises in your heart, that when Jesus comes on in there, and he'll just rise right on up, you let him have a chance. Thank God. I'm not going to put Jesus in the background. I'm not going to put him in the closet of my heart. I want him to rise on up, because the day star, when the day star in the earthly heavens here of ours, when the day star arises, it heralds the beginning of a new day. When the day star Jesus Christ rises in our hearts and is given the preeminence in the first place, children of God is heralding a new day for us. Too many of the children of God have received Jesus as Savior, but not being Lord and Master, has not risen in their heart, kind of keep him squashed, kind of keep him under, we'd say in Arkansas, under kibbers. Keep him kind of on that quiet side, and just like some men in the northern Minnesota were needing a job. They had an offer of a job in a big lumber camp where they cut down the big timbers and then load them in trucks and then ship them to the mill. And these fellows have both of them gotten fresh saved. And they were told by the pastor, when you get with those men, now you're going to get with some pretty toughies. And you're going to hear a lot of foul language. But let your light shine before them, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They said, well, we'll sure try. When they got there and saw those big burly men and tough fellas and who could really wrestle logs, they never saw the light, many of them that they couldn't even handle and cope with. They were too big. They were too heavy to handle. And they thought, boy, if we ever get on the bad side of these guys here, they could really make life miserable and rough for us. So after the lumber camp season was over and they went back to the church, the pastor said to the men, how did you make out when you're at the lumber camp? Were you a good, bright, shining light and a witness for the Lord Jesus while there? They said, why, none of them even knew that we were Christians. You know, it's easy for us to be real strong in church, but it's what we are like on the outside tells how big Jesus is, whether he's really rising up, the day star rising in our heart, or we're trying to keep him under covers. Children of God, Jesus is that bright and that morning star. We have seen his star in the east. He, even because all things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made, he made those stars up there. So all that he had to do, he spoke to one of the stars. He said, I want you to leave your constellation, and I want you to drop right on down over there, over these men from the east. These were astronomers and not astrologers. If you read some of the commentaries today, they say astrologers. That stinks. They were not astrologers. They were astronomers. And astrologers and those who were in astrology, they would never seek for Jesus. They're not interested in Jesus. The only thing that they're interested in is looking at a bunch of stars up there and try to foretell people's future by gawking up there in the heavens. And it's a lot of malarkey. Another way of deceiving people. Children of God, I want you to know just a bunch of stars sailing around up there in the heaven isn't going to tell you what your future is. There's only one star that have anything to do with that, and that's the star, the bright and morning star. He can tell you about your future, and that's Jesus. Hallelujah. And finally, this, they said, we have seen his star in the east. The big question, well, did that star really lead them all the way from the place that they saw it No. Notice the language. We have seen. It's past tense. It's we saw back yonder. But we haven't been looking up there and seeing that star. And that's the reason why they wound up there in Jerusalem. Instead of being divinely led and divinely guided by God's pilot light up there, the Lord Jesus Christ's star, they went by human reasoning. That's why they wound up in Jerusalem. But bless their hearts. You know, after they heard Herod demanding where Christ should be born, look at next. Who did he make the demand of? The priests? And if you notice how many of them were there, he demanded that all the priests come. Barring none. If one doesn't know, we'll have to get it from another. Surely these boys ought to know. And you notice they didn't have any difficulty with this. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they answered right quickly. They knew the scriptures. Why, it's simple, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written in the prophet. And here's what they said, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's the prophecy that the Lord God spoke concerning his son Jesus. And Herod, having heard that, notice it, he then had his next question to be answered. Where is he to be born? The next question. He inquired of the wise men, what time did that star appear to you fellas? And they said, well, figuring back now from the time that took us to leave there, get ready to leave there and come on over this far, it has taken us nigh on to 2 years. So he figured this, he'd have to be about 2 years old. Now observe that. What time he inquired of them diligently, it appeared. And if you slip right on down to 7, to verse 16, look now. Then Herod, when he saw that it was mocked of the wise men, and mocked because they didn't go back, as he asked them to go back and tell him where Jesus was, because Almighty God interrupted those wise men and gave them a dream. And in the dream, they were warned of God, don't you go back to Herod, for he will seek the young child's life to destroy him, to kill him. But go back to your home another way. Which they did. Now watch. When Herod in verse 16 saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all of the children that were in Bethlehem and all of the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Go in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. And verse 15, you go, and I'm reading 17 and 18 verses now. Then was fulfilled that which is spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, Jeremy is Jeremiah. Jeremy is a Greek way of pronouncing it. And he said, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, it would not be comforted because they were not. Rachel is actually the mother of the Jewish people and is speaking of her then as though one mother weeping for her children, but in reality, she represents all the women. Now, I'm showing you something in the Bible language. God Almighty uses one person like this to represent all. Let me give you an illustration. If you go there to the book of Exodus chapter 4, 22 and 23, he said this, you go to Pharaoh, God said to Moses, and tell Pharaoh this, let my son go that he may worship me. Now what is God saying? Let my son go. Who is God's son? Literally, the whole nation of Israel. Let my son go that he may worship me. So one son represents the whole 2.5 million people. Rachel weeping for her children and refused to be comforted because they were not. Prophecy given by Jeremiah in chapter 31 and verse 15. But if you go even further in Jeremiah, you're going to find another marvelous verse there in verse 31 and 32. And he said this, that God is going to do a new thing on the earth, a thing never been done before. And that is, a woman shall compass a man. Compass, to us, all we can think of is a little old thing you put in your hand there, and the needle points to the north. And you say, well, that's compass. But the compass has two meanings. Compass means to go around. We use the word today in our cities, we call it a bypass. To bypass a city is to compass the city or go around it. When the men of Jericho, the children of Israel, compassed the city of Jericho, it means they went around the city one time each day for 6 days, and then the seventh day, the Lord says, I want you to go around that city 7 times in one day. And when they were all fazed out, wore out, tired out, and their tongues nearly hanging out of their mouths, then God says, I want you to shout, and the walls will fall down flat. I'm sure that if we were there, he says, I don't feel like shouting. But feelings are no feelings. God says, shout, so shout. And it isn't in our feelings that we're supposed to shout. We're to shout because God wants us to. God believes in shouting. God loves shouting. And he wants us to shout. Amen. And I tell you, when they shouted, the walls fell down flat. But notice, before the walls fell down flat, they compassed the city 7 times on the last day. Compass means go around. So when God said here that a woman shall compass a man, it means that she's going to bypass him. She's going to go around a man and have a young'un without a man being involved. That's the genuine virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't go into that part of the subject because the clock keeps whizzing around and I'm not even halfway through yet. But let me just give you this, at least a seedling thought to share there with you. Now notice, he said that Jesus Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and he's going to be a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And Herod, after inquiring of the wise men, he then said, now here's what you do. You go there and find him, and when you found him, then you bring me word, and I'll go also and worship him. You well know that he didn't have that intention in his mind, because they, just like a lot of people today, they say one thing with their mouth and mean something entirely different in their heart. You don't know what's in their heart. So don't always go by what people's words are. I want to find out what's really motivated, what's really on the inside. Because, you know, people can be so polite. For instance, somebody can come to your house when you're just as busy as a bee in a 10-acre clover field. And you just hardly have enough time to get your work done, and here somebody pulls up in the driveway and says, oh, no, not now. And yet, when they push that doorbell and you go and meet them, you hate to just be unkind and discourteous to your friends and say, oh, I'm so glad to see you. Just come on in. Now, in your heart, you don't mean that. In your mouth, you're saying it. See, that's how easy we can be, try to nice and be nice, apply it about it. That's why Brother Humbert, Rex's daddy, used to say, some people are so nice and nice until they're nasty about it. Notice what, after those wise men left Herod and started out, there's a big problem. Going to Bethlehem, it's just a little old dinky city, but even though it is a little old dinky place, how will they ever find him? They do know this much, that he's got to be about 2 years old now. But how are they going to find him in a place like that? Babies are not just hung out on a line where anybody could see them. They're sure not much out there in a plane on their own. Good 2 years old, they turn around and have to keep close watch of them. But how are they ever going to discover that this one is the right one, when there could be a whole batsy little old young'uns about 2 years old around there. How are they going to tell the right one? And you know, in their big puzzle and their quandary, they just call on God. Lord, you help us. How in the world are we ever going to find him? But one thing about it, we come a long ways and we're not giving up, we're going to find him. You know, the Lord said this in his word, you shall seek me and find me when you'll search for me with all your heart. If you haven't made connection with Jesus lately, that's the only problem. You haven't searched for him with all your heart. Some people use their head, but God wants you to come heart first and not head first. Now, when they began with their inquiries and asking God to help them, what did God do? That same star that those wise men saw hundreds of miles away suddenly reappears. And this time when it reappears, it appears right there in front of them. And it starts moving right there toward Bethlehem. And notice it. It could be that they hadn't seen it in a long spell. How do we know? Because when they saw the star, you have to look up to see stars. Unless somebody hits you in the head. But they looked up and they saw the star, and the scripture said they rejoiced. Not a little dinky rejoicing, with exceeding joy. They had themselves a spell when they saw that star again, and then God Almighty in a miraculous way began to lead them by the supernatural means to get them to where Jesus is at. And you notice this, that where does it land? Where does it light out at? That rejoicing with exceeding joy is in verse 10. And notice it that it says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. It must be that the star just stopped right over the house. The very spot. I'll tell you, children of God, to me, this is a tender, precious truth. Look back with me, for instance. The first ones, they have the announcement made about the Lord Jesus' coming with the shepherds. They were right near. They were just a stone's throw. They were out in the fields around Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flocks by night, when the angel of the Lord revealed to them about the birth of the Lord Jesus. The humble shepherds, those who just not maybe had a lot of smarts up here in their head, they found him first. And the people who got all the smarts and all the education and all that knowledge, you know, it always educated people, they got to have to figure things out. And it's got to be reasonable. And they got to be taken step by step. And that's why it took 2 years for them to find Jesus. They'd have found him a lot sooner if they didn't have so much head and had more heart. In fact, a matter of following the head is where they got off of the track in the first place, messing around going there to Jerusalem, and they waste a lot of time there. If they'd have come, if they come from the east, and they'd have gone there to Bethlehem, and knowing the scripture, see, but they did not know the word of God. And because they didn't know the word of God, where just to be born, they had to go over there to Jerusalem to find out. And when they did find out, they still wound up in the same place. But what if they'd have known the word of God from the beginning? One thing I'll say for them, though, to their credit, that those wise men had five things to their credit. Number one, they had searched the scriptures, not maybe diligently, not having the full revelation by the Holy Ghost to call things to their attention, but one thing they had searched the scriptures, how do we know? When they saw that star in the east, that star was a prophecy that was made by one of their prophets. Does that surprise you? If you would go to the book of Numbers in chapter 24, and in verse 17, you're going to find that Balaam, one of their prophets, said, I shall behold him, but not now. I shall see him, but not now. He said that a star shall come out of Jacob. Star. That's the starting place. That's where they focused their attention on that prophecy. And when they saw the star there in the heavens, they said, this is the time of the coming of the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior of the world. And we've got to go to Him. To their eternal credit, they knew their prophet scripture. They had that down pat. And then next, to their credit, they believed what they heard. A lot of people, just look, when Jesus was being inquired about where He was to be born, Herod called for the priests and the scribes. And the priests and the scribes, oh, Lord have mercy, Brother Osborne, you help me. I'm way past my time, but let me close it out right quick with this. The priests and the scribes, they knew exactly where the scripture was about in Micah 5:2, where Jesus was to be born. But what did they do about it? Nary a thing. Just like today, people may know about the scripture and what the scripture says about we must be born again, and we must be ready, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. We may know the scriptures and do nothing about it. But to these wise men's credit, they heard the word, they believed the word, and next, they acted on the word. They put legs on it. They knew that Jesus was there come. God revealed it to them supernaturally, and so they are willing to take a long trip and seek Him until they find Him. And notice this, that they bring with them costly possessions of theirs, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I'd like to go into that, but time has already passed. I can't do that. But observe this, what they bring. They didn't come without anything. They want to bring their best. But when they came, bless their hearts. It took a miracle now. And let me close it out with this thought. Look, when that star appeared, it appeared not over a palace, not a king's palace, not a mansion, but just a common, plain old house. And when the star stopped there, they go in, and as soon as they get in, they sense in their hearts that that has to be the ruler, the governor of Israel. Though he's a little old dinky baby, 2 years old, they fall down. The scripture says they fall down before him. Normally, adults don't fall down before children. Might be the opposite. But they fall down before him and start worshiping him. I'll tell you this, when you ever meet Jesus, you'll know you met him. You'll know that he's a living reality in your heart. And when you have him revealed to you and you come into his precious presence, the first thing you'll want to do out of your heart is worship him. It's as natural for a child of God to worship the Lord as it is natural to breathe. And those who know him worship him, really worship him. Some are lean in their hearts, so they don't worship him with all of their heart because they're lean in heart. But those who have a heart on fire for God, I mean they worship God and put their heart in it. And children of God, we're going to have a service in a little dab now. And I mean when we enter in, let's worship the Lord with all of our heart. Put our heart in this thing. And it wouldn't be surprising to me that God would break open a Holy Ghost revival and let the power of God fall in our midst this morning and have a service that we wouldn't care about the elements outside. We'd want to stay here all day long. I mean get in the real church. For the glory of God falls and see people really saved and delivered and set free and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost, sanctified holy, and the lost brought into the family of God and made new creatures in Jesus Christ. And I tell you this, we'll be just as happy seeing all of these things happen and celebrate it just like we are up there in heaven ourselves. Glory to God. Father, how we thank you for your word. It's so simple and so plain. And yet, Lord, it takes your Holy Spirit to make it simple and plain, or otherwise our heads complicate everything and muddy the waters. But we thank you for the glorious message, the truth, the good news of your coming into the world. You came to seek and to save that which is lost. You said, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Lord, we know that you came into the world on a saving mission, a rescue mission. And we all need saving from sin. Some people want to be saved in their sins, but Lord, we know you don't do it like that. Help them to come this day your way, to be saved your way from their sins, delivered from them, and made new creatures in Jesus Christ, for old things pass away, and all things have become new. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.